You're listening to the Find Your Cure podcast, a podcast that provides transparency to the Oklahoma cannabis industry, one harvest at a time. My name's Coleman, and I'm joined with Riley Slater, Oklahoma native and owner of Cured Cannabis Company. Join us while we talk about process, things we've learned, and have sit-downs with industry leaders as we help you find your cure. The only Triple D I know about is Guy Fieri's Diners, Drive-Ins, Dives.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Y'all know much
about it? Yeah. No, I know who that is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tight. Well, welcome to the Find Your Cure podcast, boys. Welcome back.
What up?
Welcome.
We're recording right now?
We are live. I promise.
Okay.
First of all, I was about to say, you click the button this time.
100% right? Click the button. We are live.
Okay. That's what's up.
Nice. I like it.
Thanks for joining us today. That was quite loud. I'm sorry if I bursted your eardrums.
Yeah.
Welcome to Find Your Cure podcast. What's up, boys?
Oh, you know.
What's going on?
My allergies are kicking this morning.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's that ragweed. It's probably this weed, too.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Now take it easy.
How are you guys doing?
I'm good, man. I'm tired. You sleep well?
No.
I did not either.
I slept deep, but I didn't sleep well. I woke up tired as fuck.
Yeah?
Okay.
I don't know. The past, like, week and a half, I've just not been sleeping well. I don't know if it's something with the moon. I'm just saying.
Is that right?
I'm just saying, bro.
I tried sleeping with my windows open last night, but it was still too warm, and that's why I was tossing and turning.
It was way too warm for me last night. I woke up. I didn't go to sleep till like 1:30, and I knew we had this
bro,
podcast.
What the fuck?
I know.
How are you going to get offline at fucking 10, be a bitch, and be like, I'm out of here, and then fucking stay up till 1:30?
You got off at 9.
Bro, Shit, I was on from fucking 10 to 11:45.
It's crazy.
I had to go eat.
Screaming.
Yeah, pussy.
I wasn't on at all.
Pussy.
I mean, you let me know when you're ready, and I'll be there for you.
Yeah. Hey, I don't need you. I don't need any of you motherfuckers.
Oh, you don't need heels now.
You know what I'm saying? I don't need heels.
You don't need heels now?
No.
This damage Bash don't need man. Heels now. That's crazy.
Fuck you.
You don't need a mercy. You don't need a tank. Dude, switch up real quick.
Those games.
I want to talk about is what type of sick motherfucker doesn't drink milk with their fucking Oreos. We had a discussion last night. Avesta was like, yeah, I'll get a cookie.
Oh, you guys talked about this last
night. Avesta was on my side.
This started in the afternoon.
It did start in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
This carried into the night.
It did. Wow. I had to get more opinions.
Yeah.
And
Travis, can you eat cookies without milk?
No.
Any cookie?
No.
It's no.
Okay.
See, I'm not even mad at that. It's the thing. The fact of the matter is that you guys are actively going out and buying milk with your cookies.
That's what milk's for.
What do you mean actively buying? Like, that's part of my grocery list.
Yeah, like when you buy a car, you know, you have to get gas.
Gasoline.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same shit, Coleman. When you buy cookies, you got to get fucking milk.
Man, I'm just not the type. Avesta was on my side, too.
Listen, I feel like you have psychotic tendencies. People who don't fucking drink milk with cookies.
Ketchup with eggs?
Yeah.
Ketchup with eggs.
Oh, no, wait a second.
I mean,
what are you, in sixth grade?
No, I'm saying your hypothesis might be true. I don't know. I haven't really thought about it too much.
Yeah.
I thought we were just, you know, some quality dudes just growing cannabis.
Dudes.
But now I might have some.
Yeah, y'all are mediocre, but I mean.
That's crazy. Surrounding himself with mediocre dudes. You don't like to see it.
We can't let
like
that leak into our industry over here.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Or our business.
Yeah, I don't really have much to say to you about that whole milk situation. All I know is I might come to you one day. That it has to be in the list. You know, like whenever kids, they like torture animals and shit when they're young and they end up psycho killers, like serial killers. I feel like that's what's going on right now. Coleman's letting us in. Yeah, it's like some fucking Dexter shit, this dude. Yeah.
Kind of looks like Dexter.
Yeah, he's a motherfucker.
I mean, you lost me the entire time until you brought up Dexter. Now I'm kind of back on train.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kind of like Dexter.
You're giving me those vibes with no milk and Oreos, bro. Come on.
Just stick to growing weed.
Just growing and...
Growing and selling weed.
Growing and gaming.
Yeah. Gaming's... Hey, man. You got to have that decompression time.
That's true. I mean, we got the grow now. We had the processing company. You know, we've been growing and selling wholesale to other dispensaries for, what, like over 2.5 years now?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, it's about two. We started growing about 2.5, and then obviously it took 4 or 5 months to get a harvest. Mm. You know what I mean? Had to get some mothers going, clone them all, do all that stuff.
has it felt like it's come, like the correct pace? I don't know if there's like a correct pace, but has it felt like it's kind of like flown by, or you wish it had gone faster kind of thing?
I mean, it's flown by. Yeah, it's flown by. Yeah, always chasing your tail, bro.
I can attest to that. I mean, it feels like yesterday I was in the grill for like my first time, harvest.
Mm-hmm. And this was like around the same time, what, last year that you won People's Choice for Neb?
Yep. Yep.
Right?
Won the Neb, man.
That's true.
It was around this time, right?
Yeah.
A year ago?
100%.
Was that a part of like the first set of strains you were growing?
Yeah, that was one of the first. That was the set of the first moms that I grew. We had, I think, six or seven.
Okay.
Six or seven strains that I picked at the very beginning, and that was one of them.
That was the first cannabis cup, right?
Yep.
The first one that we got to experience.
Cause, yeah.
Because I remember coming out before I decided to move out here.
Yeah.
And he was like, he's showing me the poster, he's showing me the bag, he's showing me what he submitted, all this stuff.
I mean, the first one was the year, like the first one in Oklahoma was the year before that.
Okay.
But last year was the first People's Choice where
People's
it was
Choice.
Like
okay.
people, everyone voted online, you know, did that whole deal.
Okay.
It was the first time instead of like quote unquote only judges, you would go buy a judge's pass at a dispensary that was funded, you know, mm-hmm. they funded High Times. And so High Times would come in and
little partnership
partner with a dispensary and give out judges kits.
Okay.
And so anyone and everyone could go get them.
That's what I thought was cool about the 2020 versus like the 2021.
Yeah.
Is that the 2020 competition was you provided your samples, you provided X flower, mm-hmm. and then High Times went and broke it down into discrete packaging.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was sample okay. one through
right.
30 something.
Yeah, I don't know how it works. So
well, this year.
Yeah. They got packaging involved.
They had you package your own samples.
Damn.
So it was kind of like voting on like who's the best packaging / who's the best branding /
oh, so they're including that this time. Have they ever included that or no?
No, I don't think so, man.
That's like the first.
It's weird.
Okay,
I think it's weird as shit. Weird.
It wasn't like I thought the 2020 was like a nice competition. It was like a real competition.
Yeah. No, they got cheap this year, and we're like, oh, you bring your own shit. We can't provide this stuff anymore.
Not enough good weed out there to judge, or what's going on?
I mean, they blamed it on COVID too.
Yeah,
COVID.
Yeah,
but that excuses.
Yeah, it's kind of dog shit because like
the year before when the pandemic was more jumping than ever. I mean, they had us making the samples themselves.
Okay. I really like the anonymous deal where you got no clue who the fuck it's from.
Mm-hmm.
So that way
you're judging based on
dick riders, bro. They get on this like wave of I like this brand and everything else is shit, and then or the dudes who are just in a bunch of stores,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Who have already set up their distribution.
Mm.
It seems like the guys with the biggest distribution would end up with a leg up.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're just small little
mom and pop.
Mom and pop. Yeah, exactly. We don't even. We sell to maybe 6-8 dispensaries.
I think that was cool though. I mean, like at the time, I remember. Before we even submitted our sample, we all knew, like as a collective, that Nebula was
the one.
Just a winner.
Yeah. Like it was just solid.
I'd worked in the industry a little bit. I had seen flower at other dispensaries. I shop around enough
mm-hmm.
to definitely see the quality difference. And I mean, it was crazy. Like first day I started here, I knew it was something special. But then Nebula too. Like we knew that was going to be a special flower.
You've been working what cured what 2 years now? You?
No, I started
two,
February of 2020.
Okay.
Yep.
Right
so a
before
year
they
and
shut everything down, like pandemic wise.
Year and a half.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Flown by. Love every bit of it. It's been a blast,
right.
bro.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Yeah, I remember meeting you last year. Yeah, long. I think you had your long hair, right?
A little bit longer.
Yeah. A little longer. Yeah. You had your glasses, your hat, doing some mopping.
Doing some good old.
The first time I came and actually saw the operation since Riley moved back from Colorado.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
It was really sweet to see it.
Right.
You
right.
know.
So if someone were to ask you, like, stop you on the street and talk about like growing like bud, like flower.
Yep.
What would you like? How would you describe like cured and what we got?
Man,
the surface level.
First of all, I've grown a lot of different ways. I've grown in hot soil, grown hydro, I've grown cocoa. I've even done some crazy shit in rock wool. We try to keep it simple while maintaining. I mean, it's in the end, bro. As long as you know what you're doing in the grow, it's all about genetics. So. It really comes down to hunting for those genetics. I'm someone who likes to, I'm not just going to go get the most trichome laden bud if it doesn't bring a different kind of profile. Mm. I like to have, you know, like cupcakes, bro. You know what I mean? I got to have one of each. You got to have the fucking chocolate on chocolate. You got to have the strawberry. You got to have the vanilla.
Red velvet. Don't forget the red velvet.
You maybe even the carrot cake in there. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, carrot cake.
Yeah. So trying to diversify the flavors, the terpenes, the profiles, and the structures is what I've been on. A lot of people, they'll just grab a purple strain or, you know, a frosty strain, and they'll grow a bunch of that shit. And it's cool. That's cool. But I'm more into the, I've already done all that. You know what I mean? I've already, it's not hard to find a purple strain or a frosty strain. It's, you know.
So when you're going from seed / seedling to the pheno hunt stage, is there particular things that do or don't, like, make it or break it for genetic, for a strain?
Well, right away, you'll be able to tell the speed of growth. Hmm. You'll be able to tell, you know, in the veg stage, okay, this one's a little slower, this one's gonna get a little faster.
This one, like, requires more nutrients / watering than another. Maybe.
Correct. And that'll just become more and more prevalent as you get further in the veg stage. And sometimes when they start sexing in the veg stage, it takes, you know, between a month and a month and a half before you can really, their sex organs start showing. And then you can start to even smell differences in the veg early on. That being said, really has to do with the structure in the veg, you know.
It's like the foundation for the rest of the build.
Right.
So you can
the growth process.
Right.
Right.
So you can be cool with like a certain strain until it hits like, you know, like veg to flower, like before you have to transplant.
Yeah.
Maybe will you start noticing like signs then?
Yeah. You'll just probably before then, like in between when it's a little intermediate. So in between like a seedling with, you know, three nodes and then a more mature veg plant with, you know, six or eight tops. That in between that time, you'll be able to tell, okay, this one, like I said, this one's slower, this one's faster, this one's taller, this one's stockier, this one's, you know, so and so. And then that'll give you a window into what's about to happen in the flower.
Right.
Once you get into the flower, that's when things get interesting. You'll see, because when you're trying to find different strains, you'll have different, you know, different periods of flower.
Mm-hmm.
So some of them will flower real early, and you'll, in week four, you'll already have some buds, and then some barely be coming out by week four, and you know that's going to be a longer strain.
Okay.
Also, a lot of the breeders will give you, you know, so I don't like I don't like seeing on the back of the breeder's pack that's like 62 days. It's like, bro, no, it's not
like
62.
Like a guesstimate.
Yeah, like, I mean, you're giving, like, you're telling people to chop at 62.
Yeah.
But really, there probably is a window from 60 to 71. Okay. You know what I mean?
Depending
on
what
you're getting or what the pheno is or whatever. You can get the same two seeds.
And its response inside the atmosphere, like the growth and stuff.
Well, just they're sisters, man. So, like, you got, like, you could have one finish just a little bit earlier than the next one over. It needs, you know, two or three more days to do the exact same thing.
Okay.
And that's kind of the hard part about pheno hunting is everything's a little bit different, and you kind of have to test it to dial it in.
Right. Is there certain things, very face level, surface level things that you can tell as far as needing to harvest?
Base level is the trichomes. They'll turn from cloudy to amber.
Okay.
You wait for about, a good rule of thumb for me is about 10% amber. But it's similar to a fruit that's ripening. You can pull it. There's a lot of people that pull early because they're impatient. And there's a lot of people that don't know what they're doing and they pull late. And when you pull too late, you'll get that like hungry, happy, sleepy high. This fucking like stone to the bone high. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's on most strains. But the in order to get the full entourage effect to what you're actually trying to do, we found that it's best to, there'll be maybe 5 to 10% clear, and then it'll be like 40 to 50, even upward of 60 cloudy, and then the rest amber. So in between 10 and 20% amber is where you want to be, and then the remaining, it's kind of like I said, it's like a fruit. You got to pick it at the right ripeness, and everything's different. So
how do you check the trichomes? Do you like magnify it?
Yeah, you get a little jeweler's glass.
So you can get in there.
Yeah, they have.
See how long they're kind of stretching, how many there are popping out.
Well, by that time, there should be the maturity of the trichome head should already be there, but it's the head that's changing colors.
Okay.
It's the very tip, the lollipop that's switching from clear to cloudy to amber.
Safe to say you've had some experience growing in the past.
A little bit.
Is there any things when you move to Oklahoma, at least at the at a business level, is there any things that you had to change as far as like your like
the way I go about it?
Yeah.
Because how long were you in Colorado again? You're like
10 years.
10 years.
Yeah.
10 plus years. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like for instance, like we work with a lot of 8 to 9 week plants. Is that something you didn't do as much in Colorado?
Yeah, in Colorado, it was a little more relaxed for me. I only had, I had less than I did here, so it wasn't an industrial scale. But that being said, when I came here, there's a timeline that we needed to make things a little more steady. We were setting up the perpetual harvest weekly, so you had to incorporate that with the size of the room and the number of the rows.
Right.
And we started getting in between 8 and 9 week plants. There's crazy sativas that could go, they can go 11 or 12 weeks, man.
Jeez.
So, they also produce more, but the formula says that the quicker you can get the harvest, the more harvests you will have and the more weight you will have per year.
Right. That makes sense. As far as like a business, I think that's like a smarter way of going about it is since we are on a weekly harvest cycle, it's easier to work with strains that are on that specific time, that plant life cycle.
And it's like back in the day, man, back in the day, you only had X amount of strains to pick from because.
Right. Accessing them.
Yeah. Accessing them is sketch. It would be sketch as shit. You know what I mean? You'd usually get seeds from your buddy. Seeds in a bag and just hope they're not Hermes.
Right.
You could order seeds from like Amsterdam, but a lot of the times they wouldn't make it past customs and you just get burned for your money. You have to send in like this like money order to Canada and then Canada accepts it and then they make the order and then they ship it from Amsterdam to Canada and Canada to you.
That's
Even
though like Colorado was legal. Like
there still wasn't shit, dude. There still wasn't.
They were still working on their process.
Right. It took a lot of time to, establish those seed banks that were reputable enough to buy seeds from.
Right.
And plus, with them probably allowing seeds to be sold to a legalized state, they're opening it across the entire market, right? So, like, they probably had to have it controlled so nobody in other states were able to start buying seeds.
Right.
Yeah. So that's probably why it was like that still. So.
Yeah, they had to sell. You couldn't buy seeds without a medical license.
Times have changed.
What as far as like seed banks that you still see surviving from back in those days, are there any ones that pop out back in like the High Times days when you first started reading High Times? Are there any seed banks that still pop out?
Hell yeah, we got them in our garden. Bro.
Shout out Barney.
Shout out DNA. Reserva.
Boom.
Shout out Cincy.
Damn, they've been around that long.
Bro, I think Cincy's been around since like 91 or something like that.
Very neat.
Spanish, yeah. And there's a lot more that have kind of popped up that I'm interested in. We've been messing with. What's happened is Instagram has allowed people to, things like Instagram and, personal markets where they can sell their own seeds, show pictures and do all that. Those things have made others be able to come to light a little easier. You know what I mean?
Right.
Instead of having to get into High Times and get 1 million or 2 million seeds to ship worldwide. We got dudes that are doing kind of closet grows and breeding.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them have gotten really good at it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Do you notice from Colorado to Oklahoma, those same genetics that we're getting from these seed banks, do they grow any differently in another environment?
Of course on the outdoor scale.
Sure.
On the outdoor scale, but on the indoor scale, you're going to be controlling it the same way no matter where you're at. Mm. You know what I mean? So if you live in Hawaii and you got 100% humidity, then you're just indoor. You're going to use 60 humidifiers instead of 3 or 4 that you might in Colorado.
So genetically, it doesn't change. Just environmentally, there's things that you have to watch out for.
Correct.
Was there certain things like deficiencies, or I guess like you're kind of talking about now, like was there any like humidity problems that you first noticed?
When I showed up on the scene here or in Colorado?
No, so like moving from Colorado back here, were there like things within the soil? Like were you noticing like a potassium or nitrogen deficiency just from soil?
Oh, well, we use bag soil.
It's all coming from the same warehouse.
Same warehouse. It's all from the same place. And that's not going to affect. What can affect is if you have humidity shifts and the plants try to suck up more nutrients than they need, you'll get some burn issues. But really, it boils down to that control. And as long as that control of your environment is there, it all acts the same.
It's true.
The genetics, you know, that's number one.
Right.
Number one.
People talk about bugs in Oklahoma a lot. I feel like that's all we've talked about this summer.
It's like the most bugs I've seen. I've never been to Texas. Like, never, you know, I've been to Oklahoma a couple times.
They got some bugs
down there
too. They got some bugs.
Stationed in Hawaii, they have bugs.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They got some pretty gnarly ones out
there.
Yeah,
like centipedes and shit out there, dude.
Right.
Yeah.
Those big girls.
Yeah. Yeah, those things suck.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the bugs, dude.
Yeah,
the bugs. And, like, tracking in bugs.
Right.
From even outside into indoor grows.
Well, we made a decision early on. We weren't going to come in this bitch without proper gear.
Right.
You know, that's the biggest. I think that's one of the biggest steps you can take and the easiest steps that you can take in trying to prevent any tracking in. For instance, like, I see people wearing their clothes that they wore and their shoes that they wore to their kid's soccer game last night, where they step through 6 piles of dog shit and then they come into their grow and you know, basically track feces all over their grow.
With the feces, like dirt, you know, grass.
Wearing a hat they haven't washed since they bought it.
Correct.
8 years ago.
Also with that is what you don't see are the little gnats or the little aphids or the little spider mites that are attached to your shirt. And there might be 2 of them. That's all it takes, bro.
That was the first thing I noticed when I worked here is that, like, the amount of sterilization that goes into play here is super, super important.
Right.
We show up every day, 7 a.m. Like you said, we put on these scrubs. We take off our street clothes. We take off our street shoes.
Yep.
They do not hit past our entryway, you know.
Nope.
It is very, very sterile.
Yep.
So you would say having a controlled environment is, like, priority?
Priority. You know, like, having to control and then taking steps preventatively. You know what I mean? Like, before you ever see a bug, you should be taking steps to not see bugs.
Right.
It's like some people will wait till they have a problem in order to address an issue. And it's like, that's not how this works. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? Because by the time you notice something in your grow, it's either going to be bad or you're just going to be holding on by a thread. Because especially in a place like this where you have, you know, it's not just one plant.
It's not 5 at a time.
No, it's not 5 at a time. There's quite a bit coming down. So you get one early on and it could turn into disaster.
I've actually seen that disaster when I was working in Colorado.
Yeah.
Just doing security for the marijuana industry because I was out there doing that. But I was also working in grows at the time because security was, like, needed.
All, yeah.
But they still wanted you to, like, do operations.
They're trying to milk that ass. Yeah.
So it was actually cool, though, because, you know, I got to, like, be around it and understand how things work and stuff. But
right.
They actually had a spider mite breakout a couple times in the place that I worked at.
Yeah.
And
that shit is
disgusting. It was pretty crazy, man. Never seen a spider mite. Didn't even know it existed until I worked in, you know, a grow.
Right.
But they would have these drying racks, okay? Kind of like on just like a pulling rack.
Yeah.
And it was metal and stuff, had wheels, you know, 9 yards.
Yeah, like a little rolling rack of clothes type of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they would have all their weed on their drying. So this is like after they cut it down, yada, yada, yada.
Drying cure, yeah.
You could look at the top of the racks.
See the web.
And you could they were piles of
oh
mites.
Oh, God.
Just literally crawling on each other.
Bro.
It was green. There were so many of them. Bro. You could see green.
Bro.
Okay? And so, like, literally, they...
my worst nightmare. Dude.
And, like, it was so bad, bro.
Wake up sweating in the middle of the night from that shit.
They had...
yeah.
I mean, it was gross just looking at it. It was crazy, and I understood, you know, that it was obviously not good, and they treated it as such, but they lost a lot of plants.
Yep.
A lot of plants. Yep. Yeah, we got that one on there.
That's what you get when you're not careful.
So
did they wear normal clothes in that
They
bitch?
Did.
Yeah, that's what
they
I'm saying.
Did. Everybody wore normal clothes. Nobody had any lockers. Nobody changed.
Like, you think I'm fucking around with this? Like, you know? They're playing that woman much money, bro. How much?
I mean, if you got pets, too.
Yeah, that's
you got pets. You're tracking in pet hair.
Yeah.
Dude, that's the one thing I can't stand to see going into a dispensary, honestly, is seeing, like, a dog just, like, everywhere. Seeing dog, like when I open the door, I don't want dog hair to follow me in. Like,
right.
I open the door.
I mean, if I'm consuming this, which I don't, so,
yeah.
But I back it since I'm a veteran and I don't like prescription, you know, pills and all that 100. Stuff. But if you're consuming a medical product, okay, you know, and we understand that there's people out there consuming it and other reasons and stuff. But if I'm consuming anything, I don't want. Hair.
No, why do you think the pharmacists wear lab coats, bro?
I don't want any of that.
What if you
stuff
went into Walgreens and, like, behind the counter, they had a bunch of dogs and cats running
yeah,
and shit
no,
everywhere?
Dude.
With a dude
fuck,
in a,
yeah,
a,
like,
a flat
hey,
bill.
No. I don't know what's going on here, but...
I ain't having it.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Like, it's kind of... It's just not good.
A little sketch.
Everyone talks about Oklahoma being the Wild Wild West, and...
Man, it's just
lackluster. It is the Wild West.
I wish people would take a little more respect, you know, put some more respect on the name, you know, on the game.
What the problem is, man, I believe, is...
What about the license? How difficult was it to get the license?
At first, it was easy.
For real.
Now you got to prove, you know, residency and do all this other stuff. At the time...
Jeepers creepers.
At the time, I think it was 6 months. I don't think it was anything, bro. I think you just go and... Show them your Oklahoma license and
pay what it pay.
Yeah, pay yeah. pay the. I think it's $2,500.
Well,
how was like the zoning out here? Like
in
where
city, bro? You know, we're fucking with the city,
right?
And that's what's the difference between us and, you know, dudes out in Wakima or wherever the fuck it is that I'm dealing with city officials coming in and making sure all my plumbing, my electrical, my you know, even my HVAC.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Making sure that we got to talk about CFM, which is, you know, the amount of airflow through each room and CO2 and, you know, making sure we have sensors and making sure that our water tanks have, you know,
I mean, all
crazy
all.
Shit
just
on them.
Just a lot.
Yeah. And then outside the city limits, you don't have to have anything.
Besides worrying about the DEA, because your operation is
not DEA, but like no OBN is what
OBN
you're, OBN
who's that
Oklahoma Bureau of Narcotics.
Okay, so those are the ones that be sweating.
That and
I mean, if you're doing something illegal, you better be sweating.
Okay,
but the OMMA will come out and check your facility to make sure it's like up to OMMA standard,
and then they report it to OBN.
No, OBN is really. They're making sure you're not doing shit illegal.
Okay.
So
like not having a license.
Not having a license, selling a bunch of shit out of state.
Out of state.
You know, that's what they or having
What about the tags that you guys use? Like
metric.
the metric.
That would be
Is that OMMA?
That's OMMA. It's okay. They're making sure you got seed to sale software, you know, you're tracking and
that's what they've been trying to push, right? Over the last like 3-4 months.
Yep.
So far.
They've tried to push it for the past, like, I think it's been in the thing for about 6 or 8 months.
Oh, okay.
But.
Oklahoma Medical Marijuana Association's been getting sued, though, left and right, for trying to implement metric, so.
Correct. Yeah. So they put it off and done all this other stuff. I mean, we did metric in Colorado, so it's no big deal to us.
Right, I remember
it's
metric being in
pussies
Colorado.
Here, bro.
Right.
I
pussies.
Mean, I'm with it. I don't understand the.
They say that you monopolize the market. They say that, you know. We can only get tags from this one source.
Which
but,
I get it.
I mean, okay, when you're making food in this country, you have to have a tag that says FDA. Okay, there's only one you can get it from. You can't just go to
and that's going back to like I want to know what I'm smoking.
Right.
Like, I'm not trying 100. To smoke
no.
stuff that's grown in someone's basement and they're like, got a license. And they're like, I'm legal, bro. Yeah. Like, you wanna smoke this weed? Mm-hmm. And they're wholesaling it to
correct
the 10 dispensaries up a city block. Because right. that's about how many there is on a block.
Yep.
I mean, more regulation is just good. I mean, we see problems at this testing, at the lab level. We see problems at the wholesale level for dispensaries are having trouble, like, verifying lab results from, like, a wholesaler. Man. Potentially it's like black market flour. Like, I'm for this metric.
Laboratories are trash.
That's a real money maker.
Testing labs?
Yeah. Labs yeah. here suck, bro.
I've been hearing about that too.
They suck.
Yeah. Not just within our company, but yeah. from other people coming in too.
Dude,
yeah,
right? Everyone I've talked to, especially the growers.
Yeah.
Especially the growers, man.
Processors too.
Like. Processors. I mean, the whole scene is behind. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
So let me get this straight. The testing is, like, kind of sketch right now, right?
Super. Yeah.
Super.
It's all over the place.
It's testing. Like, it's like the final thing that you have to have, right? Correct. Before you can start
correct.
Distributing?
Yeah.
So don't you think that should be more regulated?
Yeah. 100.
I mean, I think so. It's 100. Testing.
But, you know, so same thing with this.
Got a little gray
metric.
Area right there, huh?
Same thing with metric. I mean, like.
They've also, OMMA, the Oklahoma Medical Marijuana Authority, has put through, I mean, they've had several different heads on top of, like, who's in control of it. I forget, like, the yep. title they use.
Yep.
But there's a new girl on there now. Like, I know they've been through at least three or four.
Because nobody wants a job.
It's a lot yeah. to handle. I mean, there's 375,000 patients that's within the past 2.5 years.
That's crazy.
I mean, 2,300 dispensaries in the state.
2,300?
It's nuts.
Yeah.
Nuts, wow. bro.
Something nuts. Like that.
And how many of those have their own grow?
I don't know. I can't put a number on that, but I know there's not very, there's a smaller percentage that,
smaller percentage.
That do that farm to table.
Okay. The quality biz.
Yes.
Well, we got Josh in the grow taking care of things. You're up yep. here, you know, taking care of things at the grow too. We got Jesse trimming up for all the boys and girls. Nate Dogg trimming up for all the boys.
I saw him back.
Jesse's
there.
Doing the processing too, bro. Jesse's doing the joints, okay. the blunts,
Jesse
the thunder
me.
Sticks, caviar.
The ones that go out.
Yeah,
a
exactly.
lot.
All of them.
Exactly.
It's kind of cool, man. Like, I don't know. I started 2 years. I mean, a year and a half ago now. It's cool to watch everyone kind of progress into their own lane and
right.
feel
right.
like some each pair of their own shoes.
I mean, we're not a big group. We'll make it happen.
Less than 12
yeah.
people in the whole company.
Yeah.
No one over the age of, what, 33?
Yeah.
Yeah,
no,
there's
no.
a couple.
Well, I was about to say my sister.
Jesse.
Shout out, Darby. Yeah.
Shout out, Darby.
Shout out, Darby.
Hi, Darby.
Yeah. Taking care of us on that back end.
You're amazing.
Yeah. Yep. We probably wouldn't be here.
Nice. Quick clap for Darby.
Yeah.
Nice.
Man, what? You man. Got that on there?
Man, what?
There you go. I love that
get
one.
Get it. It's somewhere.
Shout
it's
out
somewhere.
Mark Tyson. He doesn't work for us. I'm just saying. Shout out Mark Tyson.
Yep.
I think a nice ending kind of spot is the term cured. Where did cured come from, man?
This seems, you know.
Is that a big girl?
That seems faux pas. But,
I mean, hey, bro.
Dude, I had a, when I was like 17, 18, I had a dream about cured, bro. No shit. I'm not into that shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm not all the weird shit.
Yeah, I am. I'm ready.
You're
going to
make
though.
A grown man cry right now,
bro.
Hey, man, things happen.
Yeah, no. I had a fucking, it was a straight premonition.
Okay.
I might have been 19.
Yeah.
I might have been 19 because I was a little, I think I was out of high school. So I was in my first apartment. I've been collecting a bunch of glass. I was going to the head shop. It was like, you know.
Fathead days?
Yeah, bro. Fathead. shout out Fatheads.
Fatheads, man.
And the curly-headed dude that I don't even know his name, but I'm pretty sure he, like sold weed out of the back or something. But I've been buying glass. That's when I got on a high side. Mm. I probably had 30 or 40 pipes that I was collecting, like 5 or 6 bongs, vaporizers, whatever, grinders. And I was collecting all the high times.
Mm.
And I remember reading this article on, like, and it was before people knew what curing was, like, mm. I didn't, at least. I'm sure the experienced growers that have been doing it forever, they know what curing is, but sure. I really hadn't been introduced in the mainstream. I know hadn't been introduced to a curing process. Mm. It was just like how I thought about it was you cut it and dry it and you smoke it.
Sure.
But I read this huge article about cure, about curing the plant and about how important it is and like what it does molecularly to the THC and the C, you know,
all the
transform, correct. Yeah. Transforms all those, deltas into other forms, which like, it's almost like the same process in the fruit that, you know,
right.
And went to sleep and had a dream, bro. I had a clear dream and I saw the dispensary. I don't remember walking in it. I don't remember there was no logo there. Mm. You know what I'm saying? But it was cured with a K.
Okay.
And so I wrote this shit down in one of these journals that I had about growing. I was like taking notes and shit on growing.
Yeah.
And then we got out to Colorado and we started growing and I started doing the like caregiving, you know, for patients.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to get for tax purposes, I had to start an LLC and we called it Cured Wholesale LLC. Like I was just flipping through my pages probably 3 or 4 years later and I found that LLC and I was like, man, let's just call it this.
That's beautiful.
It's called it that.
For the record, it's because when you got a medical license out in Colorado, if you wanted to become a caregiver or a provider,
right.
You just surrendered your plant count because you would have a certain plant count on your license.
Right.
And so you would surrender it so you could provide your own business for, you know, cancer patients or
people who couldn't grow for themselves.
People that are in need and stuff, you know, that don't want to go to a dispo or whatever and want to be a little bit, you know.
And then, you know, we started growing. That LLC never went anywhere. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I kept the name and I was like, all right, when we came back here, it's like, what do you want to call it? And I was just like, this is what we're calling it. And I'm like, this is
not a question.
No, this ain't a question. We're going to call it this real quick.
It's beautiful.
And so on, bro.
I mean, it's cool to watch. I mean, you've moved back now to your home state. You've got some of your best homies for the past 10 years around you. Even past that, I mean, your graphic design homie, Arshia. Big shout out, Arshia.
Hey, shout out, Shizzle.
Big shout out, Shizzle.
Shout out.
But it's cool to watch.
Majin.
Big Buddha.
Yeah.
Big Buddha vibes. But it's cool to watch you move back, and then you got some of your best homies working for you. You got other kids that you're putting on.
And we still hungry in this motherfucker.
We hungry. Well, I'm glad everyone enjoyed hanging out with us. Thank you for joining us on this
beautiful
day.
Buy some milk with your fucking cookies.
Yeah.
Do what you want.
You're fucking up if you do not do that.
Don't lose sleep over it. You know, if you want someone to talk to about.
Definitely lose sleep over it. You should just, instead of losing sleep, just go to the grocery store and buy yourself some milk.
Well, we're here if you want to talk. If you have questions on growing,
hit
send
us
a message.
Hit us
up. We'll definitely talk about it. Send us photos. We'll go over it.
Whatever you want.
We're here to help you. We're here to help the people.
Yep.
This is the Find Your Cure podcast, and we will catch y'all next time.